Hello, listeners. You are back with Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM, brought to you by excellentcultures.com. Steve, we've been talking as we've been having the show. By the way, I'm Zach Gandra, and this is Steve Gandra. Say hello, Steve.
Hi, everybody.
Steve is the founder, CEO, bigwig, head honcho at excellentcultures.com. Been in business for 35 years, helping companies have excellent cultures. And Steve, why don't you just begin telling us a little bit? I wrote down in notes because I realized in all of our shows that we've been airing lately and doing lately, I don't think we've ever started a show with you defining what is an excellent culture. What are we aiming our listeners at as business owners and people?
Well, an excellent culture is what you're going to hear from our guest today. Culture is a word that has been used by everybody but so misunderstood. But bottom line, the culture of a business is what people think, what they say, how they act, and how they communicate when nobody is watching. And because culture is at the root of every business problem or every business solution, it's rarely something that's paid attention to. And our goal here at Excellent Cultures and with the Biz Culture Matter show is to essentially help people become aware of what it is that they don't see that's driving the performance in their business, which is their culture, and especially do it in a way that helps the good guys win.
That's it. So if I'm in my company, and whether I'm a leader or a participant in a company, and we have this grandiose, exciting meeting, and everybody is excited in the meeting but walks away from that meeting grumbling, crying, whining, gossiping to one another, is there a slang term for a culture like
that? Well, what I would say is the slang term for that culture is normal. That's a normal culture.
Oh, and our humanity.
Yeah, you know, it's normal. And it's typically what doesn't get realized by business leaders. And one of the reasons that I asked our guest today to be with us is because she has built a company from the ground up, basically from her kitchen out to society, and done it in a way that has built a culture that's just the opposite of that, where yeah. People have a problem, they come and talk to you about it.
Yeah.
If they don't just nod their head and smile and say, wow, that was a very motivational speech, if you did lousy, they tell you. They tell you. And you know, an excellent culture is very simply, it's a culture where people tell the truth because they want to. They feel free about communicating what's going on, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, and then they work together to do something about making it excellent because they want to, not because they have to.
Yeah, totally. We have, on the Excellent Cultures website, I noticed there's a couple of case study videos in our YouTube thing, too, from some companies that ran into all sorts of problems, safety issues, and all sorts of things that helping them change their culture to an excellent culture fix. What was it, Snyder International? And
well, it was Snyder Global, you know, big global transportation firm. But, I mean, the business that we're going to hear about today, Pinkabella Cupcakes, is a small entrepreneurial business, not huge, but they are becoming huge fast, and you'll find out why when our guest starts talking to you. But what happens with cultures is they all start out good. But lots of people and lots of pressure and lots of problems and economic challenges and everything that every business goes through, it's those pressures are what create bad cultures. Bad cultures create big problems, and typically nobody knows that the problems are there until an implosion happens. And our goal at Excellent Cultures is to help clients who already have great cultures take it to the next level. Because if you have a great culture and you're wanting to take it to the next level and you're looking for tools and ways and systems to do it, then you're in the right place.
Absolutely.
If you're not paying attention to it and you think you're awesome and everything is cool, you are in trouble.
Yeah, if you're in, that's what we're all about today, and we're excited to intro our guest that I'm going to do in just a moment. But I do want to apologize to listeners. We've been toting this amazing You Can Get Back interviews podcast on our website, and we've finally got that nailed down. That is on excellentcultures.com now. You can listen to our past interviews, past radio shows right now at excellentcultures.com. Also on iTunes, just type in Excellent Cultures, and you can find our past shows, past CEOs, and folks that we've been talking to about this issue, these issues, to help create excellent cultures. Well, Steve, we're excited to intro our guest, Pinkabella Cupcakes CEO, Margo Engberg. Am I saying your last name right, Margo?
Yes, you are.
Awesome. I do want to commend you because I was excited. I got to sit down with Steve and Doug, your husband, a few months back. And you've got a guy that's pretty in love with you there.
Oh, I hope so.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you...
Hey, wait, hold on.
Uh-oh.
I couldn't let this one go by. We're culture guys. We would know if he was lying, Margo.
That's true.
Okay. You know, and he wasn't.
No, he's a good egg, that's for sure.
Yeah, we actually did a love assessment on him. And no, we didn't. I'm just kidding. But that was fun. We had a fun time. I really enjoyed meeting your husband and hearing about Pinkabella Cupcakes, and we're excited to share that today. But let's tell our listeners a little bit first about your story, about who you are as a wife, a mom, and a business owner. You had a business before Pinkabella Cupcakes. Even maybe tell us about that, and then how. Give us a little story and background on how Pinkabella Cupcake, Pinkabella Cupcakes came to be.
Okay. So I started years ago. I had a house cleaning business that was fairly successful.
Called a Woman's Touch.
Called a Woman's Touch.
I don't think it would have been a very successful house cleaning business if it was called a Men's Touch.
Well, and it was very successful. I only let it grow so far because I was just kind of at a point where I wasn't sure that was what I wanted to do for a lifetime. I feel like I did it for a lifetime, but deep down, my passion has always been just a home passion, a homemaker, a baker, no formal training, just loved baking, loved being a mom. So it seemed natural that when Pinkabella came to be, that I just fit right into it. Pinkabella started when my husband and I first adopted a child from Seattle whose mom was one of my Young Life girls that I mentored. And so when she was about 4 years old, we went to Guatemala to adopt a sibling, a baby that we had met over through the agency. When we got to Guatemala, they bring the baby to you. They bring them to your hotel room to stay with you while you're there visiting. And on our visit trip, they had two older children in tow. And the kids asked my husband, or actually asked both of us on the elevator, if we were adopting them. We said, my husband said yes.
Wow.
And I looked at him and said, did you just say that out loud? Because I'm pretty sure they know what yes in English is. And sure enough, they did. They were jumping up and down. When we brought those two older children home from Guatemala, we found out that they had never had a birthday party.
Wow.
Well, me being the birthday queen and loved to throw parties, loved baking, couldn't even imagine a child never celebrating their birthday. So when I got him here to Seattle and put him in our public school, they were in a very primary ELL school, which is English as a second language, found out there were a ton of kids in that just right here in Kirkland, Washington, that didn't have treats on their birthday. They couldn't celebrate their birthday because they couldn't afford to bring cupcakes or cookies or whatever it be to school. So I volunteered to be Cupcake Mom.
Wow.
Little did I know that setting up a little website and being Cupcake Mom would turn into full-blown Pinkabella. But I had multiple friends tell me, you need to sell these. You need to do something with this. Cupcakes are the rage. Everybody's opening cupcakes, but you know, my passion wasn't to open up a cupcake store and just make a ton of money. Yes, we need to make money to keep the doors open. Yes, I like to earn a living, but really, I got this idea when I realized how many people we could help. I thought, what if I did just start selling my cupcakes on a little website? And we could use those proceeds to help children in need. We're both passionate about several organizations that help kids. So I did that. I set up a website and I rented a commercial kitchen, and the orders just came so rapid I couldn't keep up. I was like, okay, I think I need to do something more. I need more of a kitchen for this. And I went to Redmond Town Center and I talked to the mall there about what would it be like to open a store here. I did the math. I told my husband, I came home, I said, I need to sell 84 cupcakes a day to pay the rent at Redmond Town Center. And I opened Pinkabella on October 31st, 2009, and we sold 2,000 cupcakes.
Wow.
Opening day. And
wow.
We just never really looked back. It just went crazy from there. We went, all of the malls started calling me, asking me to open in their malls. So 6 months later, we opened at Bellevue Square. 4 months after that, we opened at Alderwood Mall. And then now we are currently open at South Center Mall.
Wow. What a story.
Yeah, it was crazy. I had no idea that we would do this well.
What an amazing story. So you have four children.
Four children.
All adopted?
All adopted.
And it all started with birthday cupcakes for school.
That is how it all started, yes.
That is an amazing, amazing story. Well, we're going to go into a break here. What an amazing story, Pinkabella Cupcakes and Margot Engberg. And we'll be right back right after these messages. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM, brought to you by excellentcultures.com. We are on the line with Margot Engberg, CEO of Pinkabella Cupcakes, right here in Seattle, Washington, Redmond, Kirkland, South Center area. You just heard the amazing story of Pinkabella Cupcakes and the amazing story of Margot and Doug Engberg. You are an SPU grad, are you not?
Yes, I am.
So you are a local girl through and through, Washington.
She's the SPU, Seattle Pacific University, for those of you who are listening outside of the greater Seattle area. Margot is the Seattle Pacific University Alumnus of the Year. Is that correct?
Yes, I will be celebrated this weekend, in fact.
We don't think they could have picked anybody else. So the culture guy is always listening for these, you know, these hidden cues and clues to what's going on. And listeners, if you're listening closely, you heard Margot use the P word, passion, several times in the context of her conversation. She started the business, well, she actually started down the track that ended up in a business out of passion for the love of children, for the love of being a mom, for the love of baking, for the love of adopting children. So entrepreneurs, if you're listening, passion is the key word that I hear Margot saying again and again and again and again. Is that a good word to describe the culture of Pinkabella, Margot?
Absolutely. I feel when people ask me, why do you feel you have been so successful, my answer is always passion. First of all, I think Pinkabella is extremely successful, not necessarily me. But that's because of the passion, and I think when you have a passion about something, people want to follow. They love to see people excited about something and have a vision. When you lead people, they want to know that their leader has a vision, and I feel like that has been really the success of Pinkabella.
Well, one of the things that we're going to quote you on and tweet you on to our culture followers is what you just said, that when you have a passion about something, people want to follow. And I know this series that we're doing with our guests, like Margo, listeners, you know that we're talking about cultures of ethics, values, and employee engagement, and we're in a time and a season in our country where 71%, according to the most recent Gallup poll, of all employees who work for companies in the United States, at least, maybe even North America, are effectively disengaged in their jobs, which means they show up every day, they punch a clock, or they turn in a time card, or they draw a salary, they get paid, and then they go home and do what they really have passion about. And what I've observed in listening to Margo is that Pinkabella, you know, runs on passion, and it's passion that drives the culture of Pinkabella. And this passion is not something that she went to school to learn. It just seems to kind of flow out of her heart. Tell us, Margo, how you implement passion into your business just in the day-to-day operations. And I know you don't think about this. I mean, just like at your last meeting that you had with, you know, with your team that you finished and you saw when they were coming out that they had a tear in their eyes and they were smiling and they were happy about what they were doing and it wasn't fake. They were, you know, really into it. You know, how do you keep that kind of passion alive now that you have four stores and you're a busy mom and you've got a lot of other stuff going on?
Well, I think, I mean, first of all, I know all of my employees. I have four stores with girls that, you know, just even the counter girls that I meet. I communicate with my employees. So I am not disengaged myself. I'm very engaged. I'm extremely involved. I'm hands-on. And I've made myself really available. I mean, they all have my cell phone. They can text me, they can call me. But I think the most important part about, you know, to answer that question is that I allow my employees, you know, I would probably say especially my managers that kind of run the stores or run the bakeries, I let them be a huge part of decisions we make and creativity. Sometimes they will call me and they'll say, well, what would you like me to do on this? And I'm like, well, what do you think we should do? What do you think would be really fun to make this really fun? Because I like other people's ideas. I'm a super idea person myself. So it's not really like I need someone to give me those ideas. I want them to be involved. I want them to take ownership. I want them to feel like they are a part of Pinkabella. I think when you allow other people to feel successful and to be a part of your success, they want to create more success. They feel, I guess, just a sense of ownership. They feel like they are a part of what's happening at Pinkabella, and we've had amazing things happen since we opened, just awards and recognition and TV shows and people following us, and they all feel like they're a part of that. They feel like they get to be on the inside. It's not like they turn on the news and see us on there and they knew nothing about it. So I think when you engage your employees and keeping them engaged by, like I said, allowing them to have input, I think they feel very attached to our story. One of the things that we do at Pinkabella, and when a girl is hired to work the counter, we let them know that all of our tips are 100% donated. So they know going into Pinkabella that they will not be keeping tips. So those tips are donated to a children's feeding fund. And I think maybe there's a few small percentage of girls that at first go, oh, no tips. But then when they see where it goes and they hear the stories of the kids, we have pictures of the kids on our wall that we feed. We get letters that say how much we donated in a year and how many meals that fed. They're excited. They want to be a part of that.
That's so interesting.
What does it work out? And I've been looking at a couple of other businesses like this, and maybe this is a fastball question out of the side, but when you encounter those first kind of, oh man, I'm not going to get my tips, is there something with you that you do immediately in the conversation with them to give them the vision of where that's going? Is there another part of compensation plan that you're giving them as their job? Or,
well, you know, honestly, I've had only a few people that I've really gotten that vibe from. Some I just haven't hired because I feel like part of being an employee at Pinkabella is to have the vision that we share.
Right.
And so if I get a sense that a person isn't even like on that vision track, or they think it's hokey, or they're not excited about what we really do, then I just don't hire. I mean, it's not like they're just not a candidate for what I'm looking for.
Right.
I would say that my employees are definitely, when I share a story about a kid in need, or I tell my story of my own children, it's almost immediate. Most people are like, wow, that's amazing. I want to be a part of something so
Absolutely.
Great. Most people just get it.
Yeah. We give that advice to people all the time. Hire for your culture.
Yes.
Don't just hire for skill. Don't just hire because they're the next whiz-bang cupcake maker or whatever that case may be, but hire for culture.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and one of the things that I heard you say, Margot, and keep in mind the mission of our show here is to help the good guys win, and, you know, you're a good gal. I mean, you qualify to be a good guy. But if I was a guy and not a woman and I had no women's intuition, it was just pure analytical, you know, how do we grow this business and build a culture like Pinkabella? I've heard you say things like, well, I get a sense that, or I get a feeling that, or I just, you know, in the conversation you just, you know, just gave. And how do you know other than, you know, just a feeling, I just get a sense that this person wouldn't fit well in our culture. Do you have anything that you could, that's teachable to somebody else who may not have your gift of intuition to know really, you know, is this person right for us or not? And maybe they're right to start with and then they go bad after a while. How do you process that? How do you make it work? How do you keep it flowing?
I think my involvement with people helps when there are those situations where someone becomes disengaged. Again, like I said, I'm super hands-on. So when I'm super communicative, is that the right word?
Yep,
like, that's perfect.
I think it's really important to be open and talk. I want people to tell me how they feel. I want them to tell me what's wrong and what's not working. I want to be able to work through problems and issues. And so in the few situations where we've had that, I think most of them, I've had enough of a relationship with them to mentor them. I'm not sure it's something you can totally teach, but if you live it and people see the results of that life-giving action, I think they it's something they can... How do I want to say this? They don't necessarily, you can't say, here are the steps to become this kind of a person, but you can teach them by living it in your life. And
right.
When people see a passion or you excited about something, I think it's contagious. And the same goes for gossip in the workplace. That is like my number one. It's almost a fireable offense at Pinkabella. It is something I've called full meetings about when I hear that someone's talking about someone and behind their back in the bakery, or, you know, we're close quarters. You cannot do that, and it is poison. On the flip side, passion is contagious. So I feel very confident that most of it is caught, so to speak.
Yeah. That's huge.
Did I answer the question the way
you more than that? Answered
okay.
it? You more than answered it. You're one of these great leaders that I classify, Margot, as an unconscious incompetent. You do so many things exactly right that so many others could learn from, but you don't know what they are right. Until we ask you the question. You know, you're wonderful. I think we're headed to a break pretty soon. I'll let Zach tell us when, but I want you to be thinking about you know, your thoughts for, you know, as Pinkabella is exploding, and we'll talk about this after the break, that you know, how are you going to scale this thing and make sure that as you get more people and more stores and more managers, that you're able to keep this culture of passion and this culture of gossip is poison, but passion, you know, is infectious and followable. Think about it, because we want to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay.
As we're going into the break, Steve, what was that in unconscious?
Unconscious competent.
Unconscious competent.
She does everything exactly right, but we couldn't find the textbook answer for it until we asked.
I think we have it. The CEOs that we meet that actually care about their people tend to unconsciously, I don't know what that word is, Steve. Say it again.
Competent.
Unconsciously competent. And with my staggering, we're going into a break. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters, brought to you by ExcellentCultures.com on Clay 1180 AM. We'll be right back.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at ExcellentCultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
And we're back, listeners. You are listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. We're on the phone with Margo Ainberg, CEO of Pinkabella Cupcakes. Steve, you had a going into that last break talking to Margo about scaling the culture. How do you grow and scale it to multiple locations?
Scaling the culture. As we get into the rest of some of these questions, I find myself looking at the clock and saying, whoa, you know, there's so much here. This is a book. This is a six-week show. This isn't just, you know, 49 minutes. Margo, you've been just so wonderful in sharing all of your insights. But as I look at that and I hear you talk about, you know, the culture that you have and how you've built it and how it's fueled your growth, I'm reminded of a conversation I had a few years ago with one of our clients. I think it was about 10 years ago, Jim Senegal, who is the CEO of Costco. And, you know, Jim is a very, you know, approachable, down-to-earth kind of a guy. And we were working on a project to scale the ethics process, his, you know, the Costco ethics out to, I don't know, hundreds of stores, I think, at that time, and tens of thousands of employees, may have even been over hundreds of thousands of employees in countries all over the world. And what he was sharing with me is that, gosh, Steve, you know, we started this culture just, you know, like sitting around a kitchen table as a family. You know, that's how we ran our business. We talked about things, we discussed them, we addressed them, we dealt with them, we communicated on them. But now we've got, you know, zillions of employees and we're in nations all over the world. How can we, you know, make it fit so that we can keep what made Costco great and can sustain it and put processes in place to make sure we don't lose it? And as you can tell, you know, by the growth of Costco, you know, they're doing it pretty well. Margo, what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously, you know, your passion is so uncontainable that if Pinkabella was a publicly traded firm, we'd, you know, all of our listeners would be investing tomorrow. Tell us what your thoughts are for the future in terms of, you know, what do you try to impart to your managers that is scalable and can happen without Margo and can flow into the future when you're not able to personally touch everybody in the firm?
Well, that's a great question for me, because I'm kind of at that crossroads now. We've gotten big enough where the hands-on part of me is not as hands-on as I was in the early days. I mean, I'm still very involved, but I do heavily rely on my managers. And those are the people that I really try to mentor. Like, they are the ones that I share with my heart and my passion and who I am and what I expect and what I want for Pinkabella, so that they will in turn carry that on to their, you know, the people they are responsible for. I used to say in the early days to my husband, I wish there was another Margo, one more. And he's like, there will never be another Margo.
I'm not and sure he's glad. He's glad.
Bad. I'm not sure if he meant that for good or bad. But that said, I just want to, I'm kind of at that point now where I'm looking to other people for help of how do I grow these little Margos? How do I do it more than just being me and having people like working for me? Because there comes a time where you can't worry about people liking to work for you. I mean, yes, I want it to be a wonderful place. I want it to be a place that people love. But I'm also can't always be the nice guy that everybody loves. So I'm kind of at a crossroads right now. I'm growing rapidly. I have more on the horizon. But my fear in growing is losing that vision right. that Pinkabella is. So right now we're just in the process of putting in place some, we are writing a Pinkabella Bible, so to speak, something that people can refer, you know, employees refer to, kind of like a guide or a employee manual, but I want it to be so much more than that. So I'm working right now on a mission statement, because though I have my mission statement in my heart and in my mind and I operate daily my mission statement, I haven't really written it out to communicate that to people. So I'm just now putting, you know, catching my breath. In 3 years, we've opened 5 stores technically. So I'm just now at a place where I'm like, whoa, I've got to get this all in writing, because I can't be at all 4 stores every day, and I can't be on the phone 24 hours a day. I have 4 kids to raise. So.
Well, I think you gave us some great answers just as you were sharing. You know, any MBA student who's listening or business CEOs of large companies, guys, how about that? Open 5 stores in 3 years without a mission statement. But we know that there was a mission statement, and it was in your heart, and you were living it.
But there was Margo.
Yeah, there was Margo, who's this leader who has this mission statement in her heart, and she's living it, even though it's never been communicated, yeah. Which is what culture is all about. It's, I mean, what do people feel? What do they sense? What, you know, controls how they think, how they act, how they communicate? I mean, it starts with what's in the heart of the leader. And Margo, if you haven't realized that yet, I mean, that's the secret sauce of Pinkabella.
Well,
I mean,
and what's in your heart. I mean, you've been saying it for years. It's like we've been into large Fortune 500 companies, and the leader doesn't know the mission statement that's painted on his wall in his office.
That's right. And it's usually a he.
And it's usually a he.
The most of the women CEOs yeah. know their
mission statement that matters is the one that the leader is living.
Exactly.
Because that's the one that translates.
Yeah, exactly. So and Margo, you're doing wonderful. I mean, writing systems and processes in the Pinkabella Bible is a great thing to do, and you know, you by all means should do it, and writing down your mission statement. But our listeners would tell you, you want to make sure that, you know, you never let go of that mission that's in your heart and that passion that's so infectious, because with all the beautiful words that the best companies in the world have with these mission statements, most of the work that we do with some of those larger firms is helping them get back to basics of what's in the heart as opposed to what's in the words, because what's in the heart is what people follow and what inspires them, not the fancy words that are published and wordsmithed and look so beautiful for PR purposes.
Yeah.
And listeners, it just occurred to me that we don't have a whole lot of time today, but if you have more questions that you would like to ask Margot about her insights and her passion and her wisdom, we're not going to give you her email address, but you can send it to the confidential box, asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com, or click on the Get Started button at ask@excellentcultures.com. And we'll be happy to gather those questions and package them and get them to Margot. And as she has time in her busy schedule to share and give insights, be happy to get back to you on them. I mean, the beautiful thing about people like Margot as leaders is they are such givers that sometimes everybody wants to be given to. And human beings can only go so far, especially when they're a mom and cooking dinner for their kids every night and then going back to help clean the kitchen after dinner is finished. I'm talking about the corporate kitchen after the dinner is finished and it's all over. You're wonderful, Margot.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Margot,
well,
I have
great people that have helped make me wonderful.
It's beautiful, and that's where it all happens, is through the people and the great people that are with us. So let's break it down a little. I want to know where the name Pinkabella came from, because Doug doesn't seem like a very Pinkabella type guy.
Well, it is a bit controversial. we were Pinkalicious, named after one of my child's favorite storybook. It was a book called Pinkalicious about a little girl who turned pink when she ate so many cupcakes. I did my due diligence, and I checked to make sure that the name was not trademarked for food, and it was not. So I used it, and 4 months after I was in it, the author of the book, very prominent author now, has written many books, came after us.
Oh, no.
And actually, it was kind of a compliment. I was like, wow, she found me. I must
right.
be really awesome. So, yes, it was a little disheartening. We were in our first store, kind of took a little wind out of my sail at first. But you know, honestly, we hired an attorney, and he said we had a 99% chance of winning the lawsuit, but we decided immediately, we didn't really have to think about it, that we would rather spend our money on, or actually give our money to organizations in need than spend our money on a lawsuit.
Brilliant.
So we just bowed out, and we, because I didn't want to change the whole look of my logo, and I was just getting ready to open my second store, so the timing was perfect. I added Bella and kept the whole font the same, Pinka, and then just added Bella, which is my daughter's middle name.
Brilliant.
So, I don't ever get back, but I do get even. So right. I wrote my own children's book after that.
Nice. There you go.
And that book is called Mia and the Magic Cupcakes, named
nice.
After my other daughter.
So is it on Amazon? Where can our listeners get
it? It is on Amazon.
So say the title again.
It's Mia and the Magic Cupcakes.
And can you tell us about the story without giving away the ending?
Yeah, it's about a little girl who wants to go get cupcakes, treats at her favorite little bakery, and she goes through all the process of why cupcakes are good, but that you need vegetables to make you strong. I'm not the sole author. I actually, Christina Dudley is the main author. And then a friend of mine, Terry Seitzma, is the illustrator. It's a darling little book, and it actually won an award. So it's a great story. We sell it in all of our stores. And it's available on Amazon. It's also available at the university bookstore.
Brilliant.
Well, why are we not surprised that it won an award?
Well, the Christina won that award, and it's a great award. But it's a great little book. It's kind of about the healthy choices of it. I hate to say the word healthy because some people think that doesn't sound like a very fun book, but
yeah.
it's an extremely fun book.
Well, you can get it at the Pinkabella Cupcake locations as well.
Yes, you can.
Well, there you go, folks. We're going into our third and final break before our last segment with Margot. But love. I don't get mad. But we're gonna get even at least.
That's the little wild side.
And we're gonna get even by doing something that helps.
That's
kids.
Positive.
Yeah,
it's on the mission.
Kids.
That's on. Yeah. All right. We're going to a break. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTcultures or Facebook/excellentcultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
And we're back, and you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180M. We're still on the phone with Margot Enberg of Pinkabella Cupcakes. You just missed the last segment. You can listen to it on the podcast if you're not listening live. What a great story about the name Pinkabella Cupcakes, where it came about, the controversy, and the great things that happened. Margot, what a wonderful story of you living out the mission by just dropping the lawsuit issues with the name and just going forward and putting your money where your mouth is. So many businesses, CEOs, and leaders this day are so unwilling to do that sometimes. So good on you. Brilliant.
Well, what I've heard, as our listeners know, this series is about cultures of ethics, values, and employee engagement. And we've heard Margot's ideas on you know, the values that she holds near and dear to, and the engagement and the passion that is shared with her people in a very transparent way. But I've been doing my best to take notes on these ethics that are coming out. How about, would rather spend money on giving to help children than fighting lawsuits as an ethic?
Yeah.
Christina got that award, you know,
yeah.
as a
the one that
humility
wrote,
ethic.
Helped write the book. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't get mad. I get even by doing something to help people.
Yeah.
I mean, how about that, you know, for ethics that are not just fancy academic statements, but are lived out from the heart, that anyone who's ever been to one of your stores on a Saturday morning and has to wait in line for how long do they have to wait in line before they can get their favorite cupcake, Margot?
Well, some Saturdays we have lines out the door, but we move them fast.
So
the last couple weekends we have been a complete sellout at all of our stores, so that's been great.
Wow. So, you know, how about that for, you know, ethics that drive not just successful business but engaged employees and do wonderful things, you know, for humanity. Make sure you're going to want to, listeners, you're going to want to listen to Margot's feedback again, because we're going to listen to it again just because there's so many rich principles here that time is too short to draw out. So make sure you catch Margot's podcast, excellentcultures.com/podcast. You can download it on iTunes or Android or listen to it on your computer or put it on your hard drive or share it with a friend. You decide what you want to do with it. But, I mean, what an opportunity to learn from an entrepreneur who started with nothing but passion and wove that passion into a fabulous business that is growing faster than most people can measure.
Not only that, but the one of our best examples on all of our podcasts of living the mission statement, CEOs living the mission statement, not just Margot didn't even have one written down yet. Just living it out.
Yeah. And I started with no money. Too. I had a little pink KitchenAid mixer.
Yeah, so here's your next value. You don't need money when you have passion.
That's it.
Well, it is true. I think that so many people get wrapped up in, I got to buy all this big stuff to start this big business. And I honestly started with a little mixin' and a home mixer and a home oven, and my decorator, who's still with me today, looked at me and said, "You think we're going to make buttercream in that?" And I said, "Yes, we are. We will. We'll just scoop it into buckets and keep making it." And but I will say, our first day, opening day, we wrote a giant check to one of our favorite organizations, and then we bought a mixer. So nice. That was our little claim to our successful start.
That's awesome.
Okay, so you brought a subject up here that, I mean, so many corporations are involved in, I guess the term is giving back to the community, and it's good PR, and you publicize it, and you show pictures of all your employees in the, the breast cancer walkathon or in the Habitat for Humanity, and, you know, giving back is a great thing to do. But in listening to you, it sounds like you were giving back before you ever became an entity, and you were giving away to organizations that help children before you even had a business. That sounds kind of the cart before the horse. Is that the way you've seen it, Margot?
You know, I would say that naturally I'm a giver. I mean, it just is something that was born in me, I guess. But because of Pinkabella, I've even gotten more excited about giving. I honestly tell people, the more money we make, the more we get to give. And I that's how I feel with my whole heart. Like, I don't want to make more money to be rich. I don't need a new house. I don't need another car. I just want to, I want to be able to give more. I've told my husband multiple times, I just want to win the lottery so I can give it away. And he's like, yeah, right. I got to buy a lottery ticket for that.
But I've got a little account you could give it into.
Okay. But seriously, that is truly my heart, is to be able to give and help. And I would love to, we almost never say no to a donation. We get countless. I answered.
Be careful. You're saying this on the radio
now,
Margot.
I know. But I have formed a committee that has now started to weed through those donations. But that's what I mean. I get number of donation requests daily. And we've given over 50,000 cupcakes in 3 years. And that's money. That's a lot of money. So, and written large checks to organizations that we're passionate about. But at the end of the day, yes, we still have to pay bills. We still have to keep our doors open. So we have to make money. But I don't want it to be a place that my employees come just to pick up a paycheck. I don't want it to be a place where I just need to pay the bills. I honestly want it to be a place that there's a social responsibility, where my employees have that higher vision for more than just profit, that they come because they know they have a social responsibility too. And that's where that whole vision and passion comes in. I don't think you can do that if that's not something you truly love.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So well said. Tell us a little bit about what Pinkabella does besides make and sell cupcakes. I know you do catering and you do so many other things, and so many, you know, big name celebs have contacted you and asked you to do their birthday parties and, you know, do their special cakes and everything, just because you know the work that you do and the love that you share it with is so purposeful and so passionate. What else does Pinkabella do, and why do you do it?
Well, I do want to say this. We do a ton of catering. We do weddings. We just completed the wedding show a week ago, and I've already booked 25 weddings in a week. So we did over 180 weddings last year. Weddings are huge for cupcakes. We are the exclusive birthday cake for the American Girl doll. So we make all of the birthday cakes for that, their birthday parties. Sometimes that's 80 birthday cakes a week.
Wow.
We are with the Gates Foundation, so we provide cupcakes to their events and all of their meetings, their business meetings. I have been asked by Tom Douglas for 3 years straight now to be a part of his Food Lifeline fundraiser, which he hand selects. So we do a lot of big deals. We do Microsoft launch parties where we're putting out 2,000 to 5,000 cupcakes at a time. We launched their Xbox, their Kinect, their Windows Phone. So we do a lot of corporate events, which, you know, in a lot of ways keeps the doors open. But you know, I've had some of those bigwigs come to me and say to me, "I love your story. I want to buy your cupcakes because you have this amazing story." And honestly, I don't want anyone to buy my story. I want them to love our product. So I take pride in good customer service, excellent quality control. You know, I don't want any complaints about my cupcakes. And when I get them, I am on it. I don't wait to get to the bakery the next day. I am calling the bakery and saying, "What happened? Why were those cupcakes dry?" So I feel that my story is great. And yes, if you want to support us, I love that. But I want you to love my product first, because we are selling a product, not a story. So those are some of the people that have come after us. We've got a couple reality shows chasing us right now, but it has to be right.
You're too good for those guys.
Yeah. Well, and some of them are good. The Hallmark story, you know, they want us the heartfelt story to be told. So we're not going to settle for any trashy reality show. We're all about sharing our passion, sharing our story, and in hopes that other people will learn from what a vision does. I want other people to be inspired. I don't want people to just, you know, think, "Oh, that was great, and I'm going to go buy their cupcakes." I want them to be inspired to do the same thing. We all have a social responsibility to change the world, and we can all do it. It's every one of us has that ability in whatever workplace we are.
Absolutely. What a way to finish off the show.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, listeners, I didn't get enough of Margot Engberg's passion and vision and philosophy. I'm sure that you didn't either. So be sure and catch the podcast at excellentcultures.com/podcast. And if you have a question for Margot, if you're starting a business, more importantly, if you have a huge business and you want to get the passion back that you feel emanating from Margot, email us at asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com, and we will make sure that if there's any crazy stuff, it gets boiled out, and we give Margot a simple list that she can answer in 10 minutes, and we'll definitely get back to you on the confidential email at asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com. Margot, we want to have you back. You're awesome.
Oh,
this was great.
That would be great. Thank you so much for having me. You guys are great, too.
Thank you so much. Listeners, you've been listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. Come on, ask us a question. Let's chat. Ask the experts at excellentcultures.com. Margot, this quote came up as you were wrapping up that last segment, and I think it fits you perfectly, and we'll end the show with it. It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. From St. Francis of Assisi. Thanks, leaders. Thanks, listeners. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Margo. Bye-bye.